There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable, but the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Hi everyone, I'm Kevin, the producer of this podcast, and this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Now today's episode is going to be a little bit different. We are coming up on our 100th episode of Hyphenated, and I've been wanting to look back at some of the past episodes of the last year and a half, almost 2 years, that Hyphenated has been on the air, specifically the things that didn't make it onto the air. In the time that I've been producing Hyphenated, which wasn't from the beginning, I've been saving certain clips, putting them aside, conversations that just had to be cut for time or went too far off the topic for it to fit in the episode anymore. But first, we're going to start with some bloopers, you know, moments when the outside world interrupted the recording, or when Jenny and Joanna couldn't stop making each other laugh. And hopefully it'll give you a little bit of insight into the behind the scenes of producing this podcast.
Okay, I'm recording.
Yeah, I'm recording.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
Oh, and I'm
very
Jenny.
Loud. Sorry. Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Oh, we got it. The podcast about... Wow. All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna. Oh, fuck. Me up the booty. Up the booty. Okay. That's a phobia I have, actually. All right.
Yeah, sorry. My dog got up, and you know how that goes.
Hold on. Oh, my God. Little Delilah.
Also, sorry, guys, I gotta pause for real fast because I have 7% battery and I can't find my charger.
Okay.
And now I'm worried that I left it at Patty's house in Florida. Oh no.
If you can't find it, can you switch to your phone?
I mean, I have 7%, so I think we're getting there.
Okay.
I'll just let you know if it's getting at like 2%.
Oof, okay. We lost her. I think that was perfect. We got everything.
Okay. Wow, that was like a thriller. It was like, we have 6%.
She's gone.
I freaking love this saying. And I want to make it go ultra viral. And the saying is, más feo que un tiroteo en ascensor, which is, he's uglier than a shooting in an elevator. And like, I know it's violent and grotesque and horrible, but the way that people say...
Huh?
Escalator.
What about it?
It's not elevator, it's escalator.
No, ascensor.
She said ascensor, elevator.
Elevador is elevator. Ascensor is an escalator.
But to no, some it Latinos, not. It is...
No, it is not.
Ascensor is
incorrect.
Elevator.
Ascensor is elevator.
Yeah.
Ascensor is elevator, dude.
Jonathan...
It's another word.
Okay.
Ascensor is elevator.
Okay, I always thought
ascensor is elevator.
Like people get shot up and then they get crunched by the escalator. That's how I always read it.
Wow. The producer interrupts to question the definition of ascensor. Look at how you're looking like now. You're looking like a Delilah falling off the stairs. Trying to get attention for no reason and kamikazing yourself into your own explanation.
I cannot
ascensor
right now.
Ascensor means elevator.
Sorry, the musiquita from my washing machine is playing, so...
Oh, okay.
I wish I could talk to it like I do to Alexa and be like, shut up, girl.
I wish you could program la musiquita of the washer dryers. Mine is like a jingle that's 30 seconds too long. It's like 45 seconds.
It goes
like,
too long.
I would love for it to be like, you know, 20 seconds. Yeah.
No.
It's like having its moment. It's solo. anyway. Yeah, like going off of what you just said. Hold on a second, Kevin. Apparently a bunch of people think that I had a baby.
What?
Because I posted about my best friend Patty's photography service. And I included a photo of her baby.
And they think it's your baby?
Yes.
Also, wouldn't people realize that you weren't pregnant for the last 9 months?
Because my aunt just texted me and was like, Jenny, did you have a baby or adopt one? I was like, Jill, no.
What happened?
People think that that's my baby.
I mean, is it? I'm just kidding.
So,
but.
Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
No, please, you go.
No, like, but you had a thought.
No, I'll remember it. I'm writing it down.
Oh, because, all right. Because I was about to comment about our ADHD. I'm like, Joanna, are you sure you're going to remember?
I think I already forgot it. Wait, I'm writing it down. Fuck. Wait. I remember. Okay, go ahead. Kevin's like, fuck, editing this is going to be a nightmare.
And it was a nightmare. Whichever episode that was, I'm sure it was probably a nightmare to edit. Coming up now are the outtakes. Now, these are conversations that almost made it into the episodes. Most of these were edited and ready to go. They were just made the episode too long or just deviated too much and will ultimately cut. But I saved them because I knew that they were actually fun or interesting or informative. And I figured we can use them again in the future. First up is an outtake from the episode where Jenny and Joanna talk about their years in school and about being popular and being pretty or not.
I always thank God I was ugly till I was like old. I'm still getting hot. You know what I mean?
I was not a good looking kid either.
But
I was still outgoing.
Because I always thank the Lord that I wasn't one of those girls that was just born looking like an American doll. Like these girls that were just like gorgeous, and so they were automatically popular.
Just because of their looks, yeah.
And I remember wanting it so bad, and I know for a fact if I had been hot since I was eight, if I would have been a hot 8-year-old, like from 8 to 17, if I was just like super fucking hot, I for sure would have just been like, oh, this is easy. I don't need to be good at drama.
No, I agree. And honestly, people are always like, Jenny, don't say that about yourself. I'm like, girl, let me be self-deprecating. It's fun.
Please.
Like, trust me. I do comedy. Leave me alone. Let me make fun of myself. You know how people get when you like make fun of yourself.
I don't know
they're
why.
Like, oh my God, but no. I'm like, shut up. Let me hate myself. Please. It's funny.
And if I hate myself, you can't, because I got it on you. It's like someone that brings up like a massive like water gun, and it's like, yeah, I'm on, and then you're just like, fuck it, and you get yourself wet. You're
yes,
like, yeah,
dude.
I'm gonna jump in the pool. What are you gonna do? Get me more. That's
all
what self-deprecation
exactly.
is.
Yeah, and I honestly enjoy it, and just like you, I'm glad I was like an average looking mediocre kid, and I'm glad I'm still average looking. I do comedy. I'm not here for people to masturbate to. If you still want to do that, I know some people probably do to Abuela, and that's fine. You do you, boo boo. But you know,
Abuela's hot, girl. Like
Abuela's hot. She just is. It's confusing because she looks real young and hot for being 70 something. But but I'm always like, dude, thank God. First of all, it's a lot of pressure to be a hot person. Second of all, I don't care anymore. I'm married. I, again, obviously I try my best to look good for my husband, but you know what I mean? I'm not dating. I'm not trying to be a supermodel. I'm not trying to be an ingenue leading lady in a romantic film. No, thank you. I just want to be the weirdo in everything I do. And I appreciate having weird features as a comedian. I am good with this.
I feel like I'm gonna peak when I can be ridiculous in public and people are like, oh, she's just an old lady. It's all right.
Yeah, that's, do you know what I mean? Peak. That is truly what peaking is. Yeah.
Like people, like when I'm just like, oh, what's on my PayPal? I do that now and people are like, but if I do that when I'm like 80, people are like, that's a quirky 80-year-old. That's when I peak. I think you're going to peak hair, then too.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I'm going to have all kinds of hair colors. It's going to be freaking glorious.
It's going to be, and you're going to be so little.
Yeah. I'm going to be shorter than Sophia Petrillo.
Oh my God.
Can't wait. And you're going to be Dorothy. Be Arthur's height. Yeah.
For sure going to have scoliosis. I'm too tall to live very long. So I'm just going to like wither away, but like be like a stick mannequin that just has clothes hanging off of it. It's just going to be me. I can't wait.
Next up is from a recent episode, an interview with the Gregory brothers, who songify all our favorite viral moments.
I will say most of our comics were devoted to a specific comic that we held in such low regard, a comic strip called Gil Thorpe that was like a soap opera comic.
You know how you have the like two serious comics when you used to have a paper funny pages? There'd be like the Charlie Browns and whatever at the top of the page. And then down at the bottom, they'd always have two serious ones that were like soap
operas. I don't know this. No, I didn't.
Mary Worth, Judge Parker, Gil Thorpe.
Apartment 5E. Gil Thorpe wasn't even that well known, but we had it in our paper. It was a soap opera about high school sports. I used to watch Friday Night Lights with my friends every Monday night when it came out, and I would
very
say like,
similar.
I would say like, this is like every plot that happens in Friday Night Lights has happened in Gil Thorpe, and they'd be like, no way, there's been an abortion in Gil Thorpe, and I'd be like, oh yeah, there's been an abortion in Gil Thorpe. But those were really our best work. But it, weirdly, as so many, like what happens when you start to really love something ironically, Joanna? If you love something ironically for long enough,
you start loving it for real.
Yep.
You start to love it for real. And the next
thing. Irony becomes sincerity.
And the next thing you know, I became an actual character in the comic strip Gil Thorpe. If you go back into the late 90s, early 2000s, there's a character named Andrew Gregory.
Andrew's skipping about two steps, steps in this story in where he started writing fan mail to the author of Gil Thorpe.
Oh,
he started running fan online forums for Gil Thorpe, and then Andrew Gregory became a character
that he mocked me with. The author mocked me with the character, but we're Twitter mutuals. In the late 2000s, he came to me and he let me. I wasn't like credited on the strip, unfortunately. But he had me help him write a storyline. And that was like, then I kind of quit reading Gil Thorpe because I was like, I've
you'll
ascended.
Never do better. Yeah.
I've ascended. I helped him
and
write
a storyline. And that is your villain origin story. That's crazy. That's it. This is it. Oh yeah, God.
Who needs to collage? Who needs to collage Gil Thorpe when you're just writing the stories?
And now you're going to hear from an episode where Jenny and I discuss getting picked on for being geeks and nerds.
So let's talk about a moment in time where we were shamed for being geeks. Mm-hmm. I can think of two that were kind of similar, so I'll combine them. It was around the same time, too. I think this was back in 2008. I was a part of a lot of cosplay community events in Miami, and this specific event was not happening in October. It was not Halloween related, and I was cosplaying. I think I was dressed like Ramona Flowers, but this event was taking place, I think, in like Wynwood, there's a lot of clubs and bars and stuff like that, and it was at night, and me and my friends were walking around dressed in costume, and there was this fucking Miami bro like with his friends, and he passes us and he's like, it's not Halloween, bro. I'm like, wow, really? Thank you. like I'm sorry, this is one of the many reasons why I had such a hard time in Miami, because I'm like, come on, guys, just get a little sparkle in your life. Tu sabe.
And the irony is that the way that people dress in Miami to other people in the rest of the world, they dress like they're in Halloween
all the
time.
Bro, for real. Hilarious. I'm like, okay, so there's that, right? Then it was the other memory I have that's like kind of similar, but this actually took place on Halloween. This was the biggest mistake for me. So, you know the movie Coraline, which was originally a book. So Coraline, I think, is still one of the most underrated stop motion films. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's hella creepy, but it's great. Wonderful soundtrack, too. So I became obsessed with Coraline. She had all these awesome looks in the film. I always try to think out of the box with my cosplays, and I decided to do a cosplay of hers that wasn't done as often. So I chose, and this is obviously for Coraline fans who know what the fuck I'm talking about, but it's this, like, beautiful blue turtleneck with glow-in-the-dark stars, and she has her short blue wig and her little dragonfly clip, and, like, black pants and these, like, shiny blue boots. But again, keep in mind, this is Miami in South Beach on Halloween. If you haven't done a Miami mm-hmm. Halloween, you basically have to be naked, like, with a little mm-hmm. like, mango leaf covering your peepee. That is mm-hmm. basically Halloween yeah. in Miami. You... It is very unimaginative. It's very, like, I'm a sexy yeah. toll booth operator. Like, that's it. That's it. That is it. Nalgas and tetas hanging out. And so here comes me in a fucking turtleneck in Miami humidity, walking around South Beach, looking like a total nerd, but in very accurate Coraline cosplay. But I was walking by myself and I passed these, like, super sexy, attractive, half naked Miami Halloweeners. Halloweeners. We're such children. There's a lot of Halloweeners out and about, flopping in the wind. and yo, they didn't say anything to me, but they looked at me like I was an alien creature from mm-hmm. another planet. They were like, they looked mm-hmm. at me up and down, and I felt so self-conscious. They're like, tenía una mirada, like, what's wrong with this nerd? Oh, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
Like, ew, what a loser, you know? So they didn't even have to say anything. It was very clear that they thought I was a fucking nerd, you know, a fucking loser. Okay, I didn't have my tetas hanging out, and I was in a fucking turtleneck.
They were probably like, the first story was like, it's not Halloween, and these guys were probably like, it's Halloween. You should be dressed up in a
sexy. Where are your titty tassels, girl?
You can be Coraline, but you have to be a sexy Coraline.
Exactly. So I should have had, like, a crop top turtleneck with, like, my tetas, but, like, my tetas hanging out under the turtleneck, under the crop turtleneck, mm-hmm. with the two glow-in-the-dark stars on my titties.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. a little skirt, and then, like, my little blue boots.
Yeah.
That is the version of Coraline that I should have been.
Exactly.
Woo!
This next deleted conversation was from an episode where Jenny and Joanna were discussing Latin American sayings, and Joanna just started talking about something else entirely.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of the Barbara Streisand effect. Do you know the Barbara Streisand effect?
Not sure.
So now, it's not necessarily a saying, but, you know, there's something called the Barbara Streisand effect, and it basically means that when you try to cover something up, then you bring more light into it. It's almost like if you came into my house and I was like, oh my God, don't go into the second bedroom. The second bedroom's a mess. And it's like, I don't want you to look at it. And then you're like, well, if you didn't tell me, I wouldn't have known that your second bedroom was a mess. You're making me want to look at the second bedroom. Barbara Streisand, like, a few years ago, she wanted to, like, stop people from being able to take pictures of her house and of her, like, you know, cliff. She has a cliff in her house. And so, like, she, like, started fighting, like, with lawyers and stuff about her privacy, but no one was looking for her. They were just taking pictures of this random cliff, and then now everyone knows where Barbara Streisand lives because she wanted to cover up where she lived and made a huge, like, deal about making it, like, private property, not letting people come close to her cliff or whatever. So the Barbara Streisand effect is when you try to cover something up, but in trying to cover it up, you bring more light to it. So I think the Barbara Streisand effect right now is an effect, but it might become an idiom. It might become a saying, like, oh my God, don't be a Barbara Streisand. Like,
no, it's so true.
Which is, like, sad. And you know, she's so talented and wonderful, but, you know, she did do this thing, and now everyone's like, oh, Barbara Streisand effect means something completely different than your talent.
Yeah, that's wild, dude.
The next outtake is from when Joanne and I discussed fun facts that we knew. We had so many fun facts that we ended up cutting out a whole bunch of them. There's actually another one coming up later.
This one says less about time and more about just how kind of we assume that things ended sooner than they did. So the last execution by guillotine in France, like the French love the guillotine.
Wait, I think I know what it is.
You want to say
it? Wait, no, I'm wrong. Okay, you go.
The last execution by guillotine in France happened a few months after Star Wars premiered. They were still guillotining people in France up until 1977. Like, this was just a way that they executed people.
That is a missed episode opportunity of that 70 show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You
know,
yeah.
Speaking about the 70s, because 70s was like the decade before I was born, but like women couldn't like open up their own credit card account until 1974.
Yeah.
Like people that are like only like 15 years older than me lived in a time where women couldn't go and open up a credit card account without their husbands.
Right. Yeah. I think we forget how close a lot of these things were to us. Like there's the picture from those famous pictures from when they were desegregating colleges, and you see like the black student walking, you know, and then there's like these angry other students behind them, like white students who are yelling and stuff. And we think, okay, this is people will tend to think like, oh, this is such a long time ago. Those people behind those students, they're like in their 60s today. They're like,
yeah, and just, they're voting, right. And they're voting.
But we like to think that, oh, it's black and white. It was a long time ago. Like those people are dead. No, like this is like that young woman in that picture, the black student, like she's around and she's like my mom's age. And she's like, you know, like she's not even like an old lady. She's like in her 60s, like, you know. And I think we forget that we kind of like put these weird assumptions about time, you know?
Yeah, I remember, I know that there was like Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett and stuff like that, like these very iconic female comedians from before I was born. Mm-hmm. But I remember like Bridesmaids, like speaking about women in comedy, I remember it being an issue, like women, like, are women funny? Women aren't funny. And it's still a conversation today, but it isn't as widespread as it was until like Bridesmaids came out, which was like no time ago. I remember in my like teens and early 20s being like, can a woman, can I do this? And it's like, now it's like, no, of course you can. Like, of course you can. Like and within our generation, we've always could. And it's like, no, actually we absolutely not. It was like, there was only one at a time.
This next outtake is interesting because Jenny and Joanna are discussing the weather and seasons, and Joanna breaks out into song not once, but twice. It always pains me to cut out Joanna's singing, but here it is.
Yeah, I didn't experience a solitary season in Miami other than fucking hot hell.
Hot hell or just like normal hell?
I don't even want to call it summer. That is not summer. That is some tropical sweaty balls.
Tropical sweaty balls. Tropical sweaty balls. Your next vacation, go to Tropical Sweaty Balls, an incredible all-inclusive resort in Miami.
Sweaty werewolves. I'm so disgusting. So I do experience, compared to Miami, I do feel seasons in LA. People might think I'm freaking out of it for saying that.
You're absolutely psychotic, Jenny.
I feel the seasons here. I absolutely do. I do not feel them in Miami. Miami is literally just hot, humid, heat, and rain over and over again. Just like humid, humid, hot, hot, humid, humid, hot, hot, some rain. Oh, it's shining now. Rain again. Just kidding. Here's a hurricane. Like, that's all it is. It's just this very tropical environment. But in LA, we do kind of have our trees change. I have some oak trees in my neighborhood, and like they start losing their leaves in the winter. They turn brown and yellow in the fall. So we do have some of that. In the spring, we have these gorgeous like floral trees that bloom and like purple and pink. So we do have some of that. And it does snow. Like I could literally drive 2 hours away and there's like, boom, here's snow. Miami, where am I going to see that in Florida? Absolutely nowhere. So I do feel, compared to Miami at least, seasons out here. So that does help.
You see other white powders, yes, in Miami.
It's a different white Christmas in
it's
Miami.
It's a different white Christmas.
Here is our second outtake from the Fun Facts episode. In this case, John and I just start talking about the different ways that we learned in school.
I remember one of my favorite days in chemistry class in high school, which was the only day in class I enjoyed. We did this experiment and basically like read a story out loud where, I don't know, it was one of those reenactments where we were pirates on a ship. And I was like, what the fuck do pirates on a ship have anything to do with chemistry? Like, what's going on? And it was this like, we were all in this boat and people kept on dying and we would change our diets and see who would not die, who would die, what was going on. And so then, you know, I was like, I don't understand what one simulation of pirates on a boat will teach us anything about like the greater mystery that is, you know, chemistry in the natural world. And then what ended up happening was I learned about the concept of scurvy, which is, you know, pirates on these really long treks through the ocean, their diets were really limited and they started like losing their teeth and getting really ill and stuff. And they couldn't figure out why. And after some trial and error, what we found in class and what like historians found out, or scientists of the time, which I don't know if scientists really existed at that time. I think there were three and they were called witches. But they found out that like the lack of citric or acidic food, like, you know, oranges and limes and lemons, causes deficiency in vitamins and minerals and stuff that cause scurvy to happen. So that's an example of like, I really function well understanding the micro to understand the macro.
Yeah.
I'm bad at macro, which is why I'm like bad at calculus, because calculus is like fucking numbers in a graph. I'm like, tell me a story about like, and you know what's interesting, Kevin? The only time I was able to like pass math in college was when I took a class called Math for Psychology Majors.
Okay.
Because then all the calculus and algebra was linked to people and like cases. Yeah. So then it no longer felt like abstract. So anyway, that's a long fucking monologue for us to, you know?
No, it makes sense. In school, when we would do math problems and it was like this times this times this, and then you would do word problems. That was like, if a train carrying, blah, 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 like those kind of made more sense to me because I can conceptualize them as things versus, and I think that's how eventually I got good at like algebra, was like, I stopped seeing them as numbers and started seeing them as like people or relationships. Like, oh, the number, the X means that these two numbers are like, they're going to do this to each other. And then like, when you bring it over to this side, that's like, they're moving. And he's like I gave them personalities. I needed to give them a story and facts behind the equation.
You needed to story tell your algebra. Yes. Like, X is such a fucking bitch that she needs to be by herself on the other side of the equal side. Yeah.
Zero gets along with nobody. Yeah. And anything times zero is just nothing. So, you know, that's...
Next up is an outtake from an episode where Jenny and I talk about the creation of her web series, A Wettest Family, which she and I co-write and co-direct together. If you happen to be listening to this podcast on Thursday, November 10th, or early on Friday, November 11th, and are in the South Florida area, we want to invite you to a screening of some of our Abuelas Family episodes at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. Jenny and I will be there on Friday, November 11th at 9:30 p.m. There are other screenings scheduled during the festival, but that's the only one where she and I will be in attendance. Just visit fliff.com, that's FLIFF.com, and search Abuela's Family and buy your tickets.
And then, so the example of that, of like something that just kind of happened and then became something else, was the with Primo Kevin, where the Thanksgiving video.
The first one we ever did.
And she had this joke of like, the cousin that's always at your party that you don't know. You're always meeting these cousins that you've never met, but apparently you know them forever. We were shooting, it was Jenny, me, and Christina, our camera woman, and Jenny was just like, okay, well, you're going to play the cousin.
Yes, because that Thanksgiving video was more, it was sort of like a moments inventory, which is something we kind of, it was a type of format we did at BuzzFeed. It was just like moment to moment to moment of like relatable things within a specific theme. And so this was like, the theme was Laritza survives a Cuban Thanksgiving. And it was like all the things that can happen in a Cuban Thanksgiving. And so one of them being, you always find that one cousin that you don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. And is he even a cousin? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So I think you told me that I improvised the line. When Flor thinks that you are Laritza's boyfriend, and Laritza's like, no, apparently this is my cousin Kevin. Mm-hmm. And then Marucci says the popular quote, "Genka ra Kevin."
Yeah.
And that was it. You guys, this has gone out of hand. The popularity of "Quien carajo is Kevin" has skyrocketed. And so we still don't know who Kevin is, but now it's like we have so much fun in every video that he's in, dropping in hints of his background, what he does, who's he related to. Yes. He lives like this crazy lifestyle. So it's like Primo Kevin, which is funny because we named him after you.
At the time, I didn't think I was going to be in any more videos. This was a one-time joke. And I think I'm just sitting there and I go, it's me, your cousin, Kevin. And that's just what ended up being in the video. And then, yeah, I think the Quien Carajos Kevin thing might have just been a thing that you just said on the spot as Marucci.
Quien Carajos Kevin?
Yeah.
Bro, people love it. And we're always, I'm always so happy about these, like, happy accidents that occur that somehow work out, or like whether it's a line of dialogue or a creative choice or, you know, something that was improvised. It's like that's the magic of content creation
and the magic of also of a collaboration. Like, I think that it's this sort of stuff doesn't happen if you're not working with other people. If you're on your own, it's hard to have happy accidents because things don't come together the same way. I think also as somebody who I grew up with TV. I love television. And now that I'm doing this, I realize a lot of, like, shows are great because of that. Like, even, you know, I Love Lucy. One of the things I Love Lucy is famous for is that they showed the first pregnancy. And it was literally because, like, Lucille Ball got pregnant. And then they made the network they wanted to, like, hide it. And they're like, nope, we're going to do it. Either that or we're off the air. Mm-hmm. And then that's how it happened. Like, they never planned for that to be the show that had the first pregnancy, but they did. And there's a certain freedom to say, let's do this and let's see what comes from this. Let's see what comes out from this thing. And it makes it like a living thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if we had written out like all these years of sketches in advance, it wouldn't have been this much fun or this good, you know?
Yeah.
Our next and final outtake comes from an episode where Jenny and Joanna discuss their experience with being bullied in school. Originally, that episode was going to end with them talking about times when they might have been the bully. Enjoy.
Okay, so before we go, we should try to be self-aware in this moment and try to recall a time where we were the bullies.
Okay.
And why you think we did what we did to hurt this person's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Selective memory, man. My brain is
were
wonderful your whole life.
Yeah. Certainly, I think the one time that I for sure was a bully was in middle school. It was elementary school, and there was this kid named Nelson, and he was a weird kid. But he did things to annoy people on purpose. Like, I'm sorry, like little boys, man.
Yeah,
they do some shit, bro. And I don't think I ever made fun of him to his face or anything, but I do think I tattled on him a lot because he bothered so much that I was always like,
that's not bullying, Jenny. That's being a narc.
But, yeah, I was a narc. Dude, I'm trying to remember. I definitely made fun of him. For sure, I made fun of him a ton with my friends, but I don't recall ever doing it straight to his face is the only thing. I feel like I never had the guts or the heart to do that. But I did always find something weird about him to make fun of. But I just don't know if I said it ever to his face. Maybe he was aware of it. He could have been aware of it. I don't know how slick I was. But I remember feeling guilty about it later. I felt guilty about doing that because I knew how bad it felt to be bullied. Mm-hmm. So I did feel bad about it, though.
Okay, that's good. You're redeemed. I think one time I was guilty of bullying was I went on a school trip to Margarita Island and my guy friends bought weed from this random guy on the beach. Not a smart idea. It probably was just, honestly, it was probably grass. And I wanted to hang out with them. Like, I had a lot of guy friends and they just like wouldn't let me hang with them. And I was so fucking pissed and hurt. So I devised a plan. I called their hotel room.
Hablando así. Hola, esta es la policía de ZIP. Estamos abajo, en planta baja de este hotel y tenemos que inmediatamente buscar en su cuarto si hay marihuana.
So I did that. They had a panic attack. O sea, como que they threw the marijuana away. They thought they were going to go to jail. They lost their, lloraron. They had a, it was atrocious. It was horrible. And meanwhile, me and my friends are laughing our asses off. We laughed and we made fun of them. And in retrospect, that's a really mean thing to do. That was really fucking mean of me. It's hilarious, but it was really mean. So, Jose Carlos, Felipe, Bruno, Leo, I'm really sorry that I did that to you. I actually don't know if they know it was me. I think to this day, they think that the police was actually downstairs and never came up. And this is me admitting it was me the entire time. I pretended to be a police officer that was going to confiscate your fake weed and take you to jail.
Yeah, I did something similar to my best friend, Jesse. But I wouldn't consider that bullying because we both laughed about it. But I did feel guilty. She fell in love with me because I pretended to be my cousin, Carlos.
You catfished your friend?
I catfished my friend.
With a cousin? Someone called Neve on MTV.
I pretended to be my cousin, Carlos. I've always had a deep voice, and I had an even deeper voice as a kid for some reason. And I was really able. I could go really low. And I was like, hey, girl.
Jenny, me and you should have, dude characters. Hey, man, what's up? My name is Connor, and this is my bro. This is my bro, J-Dog. This is a podcast. It's a podcast about being bros and fucking hoes. You know what I mean?
I already hate our male counterparts. They suck.
I bet you your voice is probably really deep in the morning. Mine is intensely deep.
Dude, I straight up could audition for dude roles. Straight up. I can go real low, man. I'm like Tony Braxton low.
I hope you enjoyed this bloopers and outtakes episode. If we get to 200 episodes, we might just do another. Until then, I'll leave you with this last peek behind the scenes of how we make the podcast.
I think that's the perfect ending, Kevin.
Yeah, just Joanna screaming. Just
Jenny, I'm sorry, I don't mean to fake this, but can you do a little thing right now where you just laugh? Because that way I can put it, just okay. Do a laugh, because you were doing it, but you weren't laughing, and I need that audio.
Okay.
You're going to fake laugh. Jenny,
it's not even a fake laugh.
No, you started faking it, and then you're like, "I sound so dumb."
Because it always sounds like a villain at first. Oh my god.